Start with me, the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Not long ago, I guess probably a year or so ago, we finished up and we preached a series on Wednesday night. We went verse by verse through the book of Philippians. Many of you weren't here, but we enjoyed that study. And while I was going through that, there were several things that the Lord pointed out to me that I wanted to preach sometime later on. And today would be one of those days. The Lord gave me a thought a while back, a good while back, and I want to preach it this morning, Philippians chapter number 3, if you've got your Bibles. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we do love you. God, we do thank you, Lord, like Brother Eric mentioned, the good spirit of fellowship. God, how you blessed already this morning. And God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, that's been mentioned. And we thank you, Lord, for your word that is pure and is perfect. It's inspired and preserved for us today. And God, we're thankful for that. And I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord. I pray to be sensitive and be mindful of the Holy Spirit as you speak to our hearts today. Help me as a preacher, God, as your mouthpiece today, to be led by the Spirit of God. Help me, Lord, I pray, to preach with passion and to preach with compassion. God, I pray you'd help me to love, Lord, as you love. I pray, God, you'd help me to have my lips guarded, my tongue guided by the Holy Spirit of God. Help us today, and then help those that are hearing, Lord, to be hearers of the Word. Help us to have ears that would hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Speak to our hearts, and God will thank you. We'll praise you for all you do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen. Yesterday, we was out knocking on doors, visiting people to church. We do that many times around here from time to time, and I like to do it. It's one of my favorite things to do is to go out and knock on doors. And let me just say this, by the way, going through, I appreciate those that do go with us. And as we was going out yesterday, some of them began to ask me questions, from time to time people do, about, preacher, do you go in this house? Do you go in that house? And where don't you go? Well, most of the time I'm going in the house, or, you know, to the door at least, no matter what's going on. But there are a couple things that keep me away. One of them is a sign. Now, it's a sign that if it's hung out, I promise you, I'm not going in the fence unless Brother Robbie or Brother Eric's with me, and they go in first. There's a sign hanging on the fence, and it says, "Beware the dog." I'm not going in. Beware the dog. I tell you one thing I'm scared of. I'm scared of heights, but more than that, I'm scared of mean dogs. Amen? I've been chased by dogs. I've been bit by dogs. And I figure it like this. If I take somebody on visitation, I want to take somebody that can run slower than me. Because then I ain't got to outrun the dog. I just got to outrun them. Amen? But if it says beware dogs, I'm not going in. Well, can I say to you, Paul the Apostle, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he said that very thing to us in Philippians chapter number 3. If you look with me in verse number 2, Paul writing under inspiration, he said, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I see here in these few verses, I see in the first chapter 3, verse 2, Paul gives us and lists some enemies. He speaks of the enemies of the cross, or the enemies of true Christianity. And then in verse 3, he talks about the evidence of true Christianity. And in verse 4 and on throughout most of the rest of the chapter, he gives us the example of true Christianity. And no doubt he's speaking of himself in a way of humility and talking about how the things that he accomplished in his flesh. He said, I count them but dung. He said, they're lost for Christ. And so that thought in mind, I want us to look back in verse number 2 where Paul said, beware of dogs. The introduction here, I would have to say to you that as Paul was writing to the Philippian church in the early days of the church age, the letter was being sent out. But when, at the conception of the church, when the church began, I believe on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, the church was a Jewish entity. It was all Jews up until that point. The Lord God Almighty of the Old Testament had dealt with the Judaism. He had, in that sense, in that custom, he had dealt with the
nation of Israel primarily, though there were some that he allowed in from time to time in his grace. And but if they came in, they had to become Jews. And they had to go by the way of the Jewish nation that God had given them by his revelation. And then on that in Acts chapter number 2, when the church began, it began with that body of people. And primarily in Acts chapter number 2, I believe you've got a Jewish culture. You've got Jewish descendants there. And then as we go through the book of Acts, the beginning of and the history, or early part of the history of the church, in Acts chapter number 8, we find there's a Samaritan. Philip leads a Samaritan to the Lord. A Samaritan gets saved. And we see that not only is God in the business of saving Jews and adding Jews to the church, but he's adding Samaritans. You say, what's a Samaritan? In our day, can I say this in all due respect, in our day, a Samaritan would be what some would call a half-breed. He's part Jew, he's part Gentile. He's not full. The Jews hated them, they hated the Jew. But in Acts chapter number 8, God's grace was sufficient and went and saved the Samaritan. And so we saw how God wasn't just saving Jews, but he's saving Samaritans. But then when you get over to Acts chapter number 10, you'll find out that God not only saves Jews, he not only saves part Jews, but in Acts chapter number 10, God sent Peter over to Cornelius' house, and there were some people got saved there that were not Jews, they were not Samaritans, but they were Gentiles. Hey, they were not Jews at all. And so we see how God was in the business of changing things, amen? And now we have the Jews, the Gentiles, and now we have, when we're all saved by grace, we have the church of God. But we understand that we're saved by grace. We understand that's the message that the apostles preached in the early days. And let me just say that the apostles were a gift to God's church in the early stages of the church. They were a temporary gift. And the apostles primarily were there that they may lay the foundation of the church. Can I say once the foundation's laid and the walls is going up, you don't need anybody to lay the foundation anymore. So the apostles died off. Amen. And so we don't have people with that New Testament apostolic gift today. But that's the early part of the church. And then shortly after the beginning of the church and churches began, local churches began to be established, there rose up some people, we call them Judaizers from time to time. They were the law keepers. They were those who couldn't let go of the Jewish customs. They couldn't let go of their legal, what we would call today legalistic ways. We sometimes may refer to them as Pharisees. They didn't approve and they did not appreciate of the grace of God and the message that people like Peter, and especially the Apostle Paul, was preaching. As Paul went and preached, he's the apostle to the Gentiles, and he preached the gospel of the grace of God. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of himself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, these Judaizers, these individuals who had been in that Jewish custom, they'd been in that religious system for years of their life, all the way leading up to the beginning of the church, they didn't like this system. They didn't like this news of the grace of God. See, they were proud of what they did and what they did not do. And they didn't want a new message. And so they didn't receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they did not receive the message of the grace of God. And so everywhere it seems as if we read the New Testament, it seems as if everywhere the Apostle Paul went and preached, it seems as if these individuals followed him and were, can I say, they were like bloodhounds that stayed on his trail. They stayed after the Apostle Paul, and as he went into a region, as a matter of fact, the book of Galatians, as Paul wrote the book of Galatians, he's writing to refute this whole heresy that individuals had come in after Paul had left that region, and he preached the grace of God. Individuals had been saved, and after he left, there was individuals who came in, and they began to say, yeah, but you got to be circumcised, but you got to keep the law, but you got to, and they were adding things to Christ. Can I say, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved. That's plus nothing, that's minus nothing, amen? Hey, can I say, it's by grace we're saved through faith. Hey, anything plus that is legalism, anything minus that is lost as can be, amen? Can I just say, hey, it's Jesus, and it's Jesus, and it's Jesus, and that's all it is, Jesus, amen, when it comes to salvation. And so, these individuals, they followed Paul around. They afflicted Paul in a sense. They were a thorn in his flesh. They were trying to take Paul's converts, and they were trying to revert them back into Judaism and back into the law keeping. And Paul had a good way of referring to them when he came over here in Philippians chapter number 3, and he said this. He said, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you'll know that in the Bible, dogs are always referred to. Dogs, and I'm not throwing off anybody that likes dogs. I like a good dog once in a while, as long as he's outside and don't eat my food. Amen? Hey, but watch it now. In the Bible, dogs are always referred to. They're an unclean animal.
dogs are referred to. Dogs would run in packs. Dogs were animals that attacked. They bit. They sometimes tore up things. But the Jewish person, the Orthodox Jew, referred to, you remember back when Jesus saved the Syrophoenician woman, you remember then, hey, the Jews referred to the Gentiles as dogs because they did not receive them. They didn't like them. They wanted to stay distant from them. And they would refer to the Gentile. In other words, they would refer to you and I this morning as a dog. We're not literal dogs, but to them, a dog being unclean, dirty, that's the way they looked at the Gentile. Because the Gentile was not of the Jewish nation. And so when Paul turned their own term around them on their little bit of a pun there, and he says, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Now he went on and he talked about these dogs. He described a little bit about these dogs. We would say like this, sometimes you heard somebody and you would say, man, that's a low down, dirty dog. You've heard that term. And that's sort of the way, and Paul said here in Philippians 3, 2, he said, beware of dogs. Now the word beware, y'all know what that means. It means to see something, to perceive it, to look at it, to have your eyes open to it, to consider it, take heed to it. Hey, it means like this. When I look at that sign on that fence and it says, beware a dog, that means to me, hey, there's a dog up in here. Take caution. Stay out of my yard. And guess what I do? I stay out there, y'all. Amen? I do. Hey, unless now somebody comes out there and grabs that dog, holds that dog, and shows me that dog ain't gonna bite me, I go in there and talk to him. Amen. Is anybody, is y'all here this morning? Hey, I'm not volunteering legs for dogs, if I can help it. Hey, what I'm trying to say. All right, well, Paul called these individual dogs, and that's what he said. He said, you better watch out. Well, Paul said there's some dogs. Hey, I heard somebody preach a message one time and said, who let the dogs out? Amen. Hey, but let me just say this morning, hey, there's some dogs out. If you go around, you'll see that Paul referred to them, and there's dogs. If there wasn't dogs, he wouldn't have referred to them. But there's dogs in the church. Oh, I can give you a few. Hey, if you go up and down a lot of Baptist churches, some dogs you might run into. Y'all with me this morning? I ran into some people that you may refer to them as a bulldog. I'm talking about bulldogs in a Baptist church, amen. Hey, you ever seen a bulldog? I mean, a bulldog looks mean. They got them big. I mean, you don't ever see them smile. I mean, they got that face. I mean, y'all know what a bulldog is? If you can't remember, just think about the Georgia Bulldogs. They got this big white dog, got the cheeks about the size of Texas. Amen. I've never seen a bulldog smile. Amen. Now listen, that bulldog looks mean. Brother Eric, that bulldog looks like it can chop your leg off. It looks like, man, I'm staying away from it. But you know, I've got a good friend that's got a bulldog. You can walk up to that dog. Since he told me I could. You can walk up to that dog, you can pet him, you can rub him. He's just gentle. He's like a big teddy bear. You know, that old bulldog, man, he looks mean. I mean, you think, man, he's going to kill you. He's going to chop you in half. But he's not necessarily as mean as he looks sometimes. Now, he could be. And then there's some I've seen and I've witnessed. There's some Baptists and amen, professing Christians that I might classify as, hey, they're a Doberman Pinscher. You ever seen a Doberman Pinscher? Doberman Pinscher, man, I remember one time when I went on visitation, the guy with me, he was on a 10-speed bike. The Doberman Pinscher come after us. He took the front wheels of that bike and he went back. And it was a good thing he did, because while he was back and I was running, amen. Hey, and what I'm telling you is, hey, that's a Doberman Pinscher looks mean. They got them ears, most time, if they do them right, they got them stuck up and that tail, and then they got teeth that stick out. They look like tractors. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And that Doberman Pinscher, but you know what? That Doberman Pinscher, by nature and the way they were bred, they're bred to be like that. They're bred to be a guard dog. They're bred to be a watch dog. And that Doberman Pinscher, hey, you know, there's some people in the church. They look mean, and by nature, they are mean. If you watch out, man, they'll be after you. They'll attack you. Are you listening to me? Hey, amen. There's some people in the church, it's kind of like a chihuahua. My grandma used to have a chihuahua. My aunt had, I hate chihuahuas. As I said, you got chihuahuas, I love you and everything, but your dog, they're annoying. You know what chihuahuas do? A chihuahua's always, don't get mad at me, ladies. Some of y'all just got, hey, a chihuahua's always making a lot of noise. I mean, a chihuahua can't pull a sled. A chihuahua can't do a whole lot of things, but man, he can make a whole lot of noise. You know what a chihuahua, he's always got things stirred up. Man, you go to somebody's house, they got a chihuahua, and he's got something stirred up in the house. You think, oh, he's cute. Yeah, he's cute, all right. He's making a lot of noise, always up in the air. And I'll tell you one thing. Hey, that chihuahua, he'll sit there. I remember my grandma was frisky. He'd sit over on the floor. You turn your back on him for 1 second.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, if you turn your back on that chihuahua, I'll tell you what he'll do. When you turn your back on him, he'll come at your heels. He'll bite your ankles. Amen? He'll snap at you when you turn your back. You know, there's a lot of people in church. I hate to say it. There's a lot of people in churches, man. They always make a lot of noise. They always got something stirred up. Every time you turn your back, they snap at your heels. Amen? Hey, then I've seen some in churches kind of like a poodle. Used to live with that lady. She had these poodles. She had one real short. She had one real tall. She'd take them little poodles, or big poodles too. She'd take them poodles to the poodle hairdresser, I guess you call it. And that, then they'd have that curly white hair. She'd always keep them so clean. I mean, they was white as snow, man. And you think, oh, the poodles are so pretty. And they look so nice and quiet. Yeah, until you get in there and that thing snap at you. And I'll tell you what, they say if you take a poodle, it'd be all right. But if you try to correct it, that poodle's going to snap on you. He's going to scratch you and he's going to tear you up. You know, there's a lot of people in church like that. They come in, they look all pretty, and they got it all together. And you ever have to correct them, you'll be all right as long as you don't ever have to correct them. You'll be all right as long as you don't have to call them out on something. But the first time you tell them something, hey, you ought not do this, or hey, preacher, you better look out. Mm-mm-mm. I tell you, there's some poodle dogs up in the church. Amen? I was thinking about this. There's some dogs that look real mean, just mean. But as long as you got a piece of steak or something, they will bite you. I mean, Brother Rodney, you get you a piece of steak or you get you a ham hock, and you lay it out there, and that dog, somebody using real wash dog, you lay that piece of meat over there, and he'll eat that thing instead of you. There's a lot of people in church like that. Amen? They look like they want to tear you in half, but as long as you give them something. Amen. As long as you give them something. Yeah, right. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of people. My mom, not my mom, it's my sister. She's got what you call a dachshund. If I said that right. A little dog that long. I would call them hot dogs, wiener dogs, dumb dogs. Dachshund, don't get mad at me. They're pretty. They're cute. But you can't trust a dachshund no further than you can see it. Hey, Scouts honor. My mom and them let my sister have it in her house. They left. My stepdad had a Bible. I mean, a Bible he used for years. I wish if I had a favorite way to do it, I'd have brought you pictures. He had that Bible for years. He taught Sunday school. He kept notes and he had that Bible up on the kitchen table. They left one night. When they came home, that they found out that dog was going to get saved because he had got into the Bible. Not only that, but man, that dog, he really found out he needed to get saved about that night. Hey, but he tore that Bible to smithereens. That Bible was, he got up on that table somehow, and he took that Bible and ripped it in shreds. Pages everywhere, pieces of pages, and it's all over their dining room floor. I know another individual had had a dog like that, and it tore up their couch. One of them had some clothes, and they left it on the couch, and the thing tore it off. I'm just saying, hey, these kind of dogs, they look cute and everything, but hey, they tear stuff up. They can't be left alone. They can't be trusted. Then there's what I call the junkyard dog. Y'all remember the junkyard dog? Y'all remember that old movie? What was it, Turner and Hooch? The big old junkyard dog had him. Cheeks like that, blah, 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 blah. Some of y'all look like y'all need a kiss from a dog like that, see? Make y'all smile. Hey, but a dog like that, hey, you know what a junkyard dog would do? He'll go around the junkyard where people have thrown things away, and they throw it in there to discard it because they didn't want to see it again. They didn't want to hear from it again. And that junkyard dog, he's always going in the garbage pile, and he's always digging something up. There's people in the church like that. You can ask people to forgive you. You can throw it to the side. You can get it under the blood. Hey, but there's some Baptists that's always going to find it, amen. Hey, I'm telling you, there's some people that no matter what you do, there's some dogs in the church that's going to try to go around, and they're going to be a junkyard dog no matter how long ago. It might have been 85 years ago. Hey, you might not even been alive, but bless God, they're going to dig it up and find it. Junkyard dogs. Then there's what I call the neighbors. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we lived in a subdivision. There's always a dog. Y'all seen these kind of dogs. As a matter of fact, I'll just go with the present. My wife and I have been in our house. We've been living there about 6-8 months, and that dog, I'm talking about a pretty dog. I almost took the thing in and adopted. Was it like a brown or a chocolate lab, something like that? That thing would come around our house. And man, pretty. And when I first saw it, I was scared of it. But that thing come up to me, and man, my wife started feeding it. She started putting food out on it. It's cold. He's got to have something.
We take good biscuits and put it out there and eat. He eating biscuits, man. He eating about anything we had. And then sooner or later, I started to feel sorry for him. I said, well, we ain't going to eat this. And man, I started feeding him stuff. Stuff that she buy that I knew I didn't want to eat. I'd throw out there, amen. Give him some water, amen. You know what, though? He come around maybe once or twice a week. You know, we'd ride down the road, we'd see him over at the neighbor's house. Somebody else feeding him. Doing the same type of thing. And then you'd go down there about a week later, you go over, he'd be at the next house, you know, a little bit down the road. I'd come up the road just long ago, and how about the thing done got adopted or killed or SPCA, somebody done come got it, and I come through there, and doggone if I didn't see that dog on somebody's leash. You know what that neighborhood dog is? He's kind of like a lot of Baptists. He's going to go from house to house. He's going to go wherever he gets petted, wherever he gets pampered. Amen. Whoever's going to provide for him something. Hey, as long as you're giving him something, as long as you're rubbing him down, saying, oh, you're so pretty. Oh, yes, you are. You're doing such a good job. As long as you tell them how good they're doing, as long as you're pampering them, as long as you're petting them, as long as you feed them something real sweet. Oh, yes, I like it. Uh-huh, you're perfect. He'll come around. But watch this now. There's no loyalty. As soon as somebody else offers them something, as soon as somebody else offers to pet them or pamper them, they down the road they go. I see a lot of people like this. Hey, no loyalty at all. You know what Paul said? Paul said, beware of dogs. Now, let me just say, he goes on and he in verse number 3, he gives us some evidence of what a dog, you know, who a dog is and who a dog isn't. He said, for we, and he's speaking of himself as a true Christian. Paul said, for we are the circumcision. And he's talking about not the circumcision of the flesh. He said, we're the circumcision. And we could go back into Romans and talk about true circumcision and not of the flesh necessarily, but it's of the heart, spiritually. And that's what he's referring to, those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary. And so he says some things about dogs. He said dogs are, he's referring to these people, these religious people. And he says they're unlike true Christians. Their form of life and their way of religious walk is unlike true Christianity in the fact that, number one, they do not worship God in the Spirit. He said, we worship God in the Spirit, right there in verse 3. He said, we worship God in the Spirit. He said, in other words, these dogs, they don't worship God in the Spirit. You say, what do? They worship God in the flesh. They're proud of their flesh. You know, the Bible talks about in John chapter number 4, Jesus met that lady over at the woman, that we call her the woman at the well, in John chapter number 4, and Jesus met that lady over there, and Jesus said this to her in John 4, 23. He said, the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He said, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we understand that, hey, when we worship the Lord, when we come through salvation, it's not in our flesh. It's not in anything we do physically. But true Christianity is a spiritual relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you can have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. I just want to stop and say, you can't have a relationship. This is off kilter. This is like side note A. Hey, listen, you cannot have a relationship with the God of heaven through Muhammad, through Buddha, through any other person, through any other entity. You cannot have a relationship with the God of heaven, hey, except through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. True Christianity is through a relationship with Jesus and the Father. Amen. But these dogs that Paul wrote about, they depend upon their good works. They depend upon their rituals. They depend upon their customs. They depend upon all the things that they've done. And Paul said, we worship God not in the flesh, but we worship Him in the Spirit. We worship Him in the Spirit. Now, understand, you walked in here in your flesh. You had your flesh walked in here. But you don't have a relationship with God just because you walked in here. You have a relationship with God. Hey, it's a spiritual relationship because of the preparation and the work that God has done in your heart. And your heart has a relationship with God. It's a spiritual matter. And can I say, I don't care how religious you are, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how long you've been in church, doesn't matter how much money you put in the offer plate, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you do not know God. That's what Paul's saying here. He said, we worship God in the Spirit. And he said, not only that, he said, but these dogs, he said, not only do they not worship God in the Spirit, but they don't rejoice or they don't boast in Christ alone. See, because they think they have a relationship with God through their flesh. And can I say this? The Jews, let me back up to that first point. I'll say this. The Jews would boast because they were Jews that they had a relationship with God. And they would think that because they were Jewish by race, that they had a relationship with God. Because they were God's chosen people. And that's what Paul's saying here. Hey, it's not all about your race necessarily, but it's about your relationship with Jesus. You need to understand that. You're not a saved person today because you're white. You're not a saved person because, hey, you're from the South. You're not a saved person because you're an American. You're not a saved person for any other reason than that you trusted Jesus Christ. And that's what he said. And then he went on. He said that the dogs, they do not rejoice or they do not boast in Jesus Christ alone. When you hear a dog talk, it's sort of like Lucifer in Isaiah chapter number 14. It's all about I. They talk about I, what I did, what I don't do. Me. What have they done? Well, they'll say, well, I don't go here. I don't wear this. I don't drink this. Listen, there's a lot of things we ought not do, but it's not to earn our salvation, but it's rather it's evidence of our salvation. Are you listening to me? Hey, our good works do not earn our salvation. They express the fact that we have been saved. I don't do things or not do things to earn God's love. I do things and don't do things because God does love me and because of what work He's done in my life. It's an expression that says I do love Jesus. Not earning God's love. You can't do anything this morning to make God love you anymore, and you can't do anything to make Him love you less. God's love. But these dogs, they rejoice in themselves. They don't rejoice in Christ. They'll go around talking about themselves. True Christianity, my friends, will boast in, glory in, rejoice in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Matter of fact, in verse 2, he called them not a dog, but he called them evil workers. Paul said the works that they're doing are evil works. Can I say to you this morning, I don't care what anybody's trying to do to earn their way to heaven, though they have good intentions. And these not whether they memorize Scripture, whether they have a short haircut or a long dress or whatever it is. If they're doing it in order to try to earn their way to heaven, the Bible says that it's filthy rags. All Isaiah 60, he said, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. He said in Ephesians 2, quoted a while ago, from a grace we saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Watch this, verse 9, not of works. Not of works. Not, y'all get that? Not of works, lest any man should boast. I have nothing to boast in. I have nothing to brag about. Other than the fact that Jesus loved me, and Jesus died for me, and Jesus became my sin, and Jesus paid for my sin, and Jesus saved me. Amen. That's the only thing I can brag about this morning. It's Jesus. We sang about it a while ago in number 119 over where Jesus paid it all to Him I owe, sin left the crimson stain, He washed me white as snow. Watch, He said, and He said, for nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim, I washed my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Nothing. Hey, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing, absolutely nothing but the blood of Jesus. So, the dogs want to rejoice in themselves. It's sort of like y'all remember that story. The Pharisee and the publican over in Luke chapter number 18, Jesus told that parable. About two men went down to the temple to pray. Y'all remember that story? One man came in there and said, this is what I do. And this, he went on a whole list. I ain't got time to go through it. I'll preach on another day. He said, I do this and I don't do this. He said, I tithe, I pray, I do this, I da da da. He went down the whole list. There's another man over in the corner. He's got his head hung down. And he said, God be merciful to me, sinner. The Bible said that man just hung his head and didn't say anything he did or anything he didn't do. The Bible said that man went away justified. That other man was a Pharisee. He's bragging about himself. And you know what? That's exactly what's going on today. There's a lot of people in church. You go in the right church, the wrong church, and you hear these people. And they're bragging about, I don't do this. I don't do that. Friend, don't tell me about what you do and what you don't do. Tell me about what Jesus did for you. Can I tell you, there is one good work that'll get you salvation. There's one good work that'll get you earn your salvation. And it's already taken place. And the only good work that'll ever buy and earn your salvation is the good work that Jesus did on the cross. And it's the finished work that He finished at Calvary. And Jesus said in John 19:30, He said, it is finished. It's complete. That's the only work that will ever get you into heaven. And by faith you receive Him. And when we do, we don't rejoice in ourselves. We don't boast in ourselves. We don't glory. We don't brag about ourselves. No, we lift up Jesus and lift up. We sing glory to His name. Hallelujah. Let me say something else about these dogs. These dogs have confidence in their flesh. Paul said in verse 3, he said, and have no confidence in the flesh. But these dogs have confidence in the flesh. Because, see, they think they're keeping the law. They think they're going by these customs. They think they've got all this down. They think they've got it all figured out. And so they've got something to brag about. So they have confidence in themselves and what they've done. They think they're like this. They say, I've helped myself. I've turned over a new leaf. I've reformed. Their motto is this: God helps those who help themselves. Can I say, friend, that's a lie to hell?
Yes.
God helps those who cannot help themselves.
Exactly right.
Amen. So I'm thinking about what I said. God helps those who cannot. You couldn't get your way out of hell. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't start saving yourself.
Amen.
The Bible said you was dead in sin and trespass before God. Are you listening to me? The only thing you can do is like an old beggar and just sit there and receive the gift the king throws your way. Hey, the only thing you can do is like a starving man, just take up the bread that he offered. The only thing you can do is like a thirsty man, hey, drink a little bit of the water of life that he poured your way. Amen. I'm talking about salvation's a gift. You have nothing to brag about. There's no reason you and I should have any confidence in ourselves. See, He said, they have confidence in their flesh. He said, but we don't. True Christianity realizes that the flesh is wicked. The flesh is weak, and the flesh is worthless. Are you listening to me? Paul said in Romans chapter number 7, he talked about it. He said, I know that in my flesh, he said, in this body, he said, in me, in my flesh, he said, there is no good thing. No good thing. Not a little bit of good. No, he said, in Romans 7:18, he said, in me, in my flesh, he said, there is no good thing. You say, well, that person's a pretty good person. No, they ain't. Without Jesus Christ, they're worthless, they're wicked, and they're weak. I don't care how saved they are. Paul referred to this, he said, beware of the concision. The word concision there, it has a definition of mutilation. Paul's talking to Jews, or about Jews. He's talking about people who's bragging in the fact that they've been circumcised. They've gone under this physical rite, this ritual, and they would brag that their flesh had been circumcised. And Paul said, as a matter of fact, the Bible warns against the heathens cutting themselves, and talking about cutting themselves. Amen. There's a curse against that. There's Bible against that. And Paul takes that and flips it on. He said, you that are trusting in that, putting confidence in the fact that you've been circumcised, you're no better than the heathens that's cutting themselves, mutilating themselves, torturing themselves. He said, that circumcision is doing you no good. You don't need a circumcision of the flesh. You need a circumcision of the heart. Man, I could go on and on. I could read verse after verse. Galatians, Paul said it like this. In Galatians 5, he said, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. In Galatians 6:15, he said, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And the only way you become a new creature is to be in Christ. Jesus said in John 6, in John 6:63, Jesus said like this. He said, the Spirit quickeneth. He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. Are you listening to me? Hey, the flesh profiteth nothing. Can I say to you that may brag in things that you've done, what circumcision, listen, and that's accustomed to a rite. It's like a thing that the Jews had to do. They had to go through that ritual of every man, child had to be circumcised in order to be a true Jew. But when Jesus came, we're not under that old covenant any longer. We're under a new covenant. And what circumcision did in the Old Testament for that Jew, hey, Jesus done for you that trusted Christ at the cross of Calvary. The cross took care of what circumcision could never do. Somebody said, well, think going to heaven is like rowing a boat. I believe I read this in one of my commentaries. It was a story. It said a woman comes home and said, going to heaven is like rowing a boat. You got one oar that's faith. You got one oar over here that's works. She said, if you just paddle with one oar, you're going to go around in circles. The only problem with that is I'm not rowing a boat to heaven. Amen. I'm not rowing a boat to heaven. I got on the old ship of Zion by faith. And I stepped on, amen, years ago. And I stepped in by faith. Hey, by faith, amen, I said. By grace, so you say, through faith.
Amen.
I got it. I have no confidence in myself. I couldn't save myself. Can't keep myself. Hey, a lot of people says, well, preacher, we get saved for grace, but then we got to keep ourselves. Well, friend, that's not grace, that's grace. Now, a lot of people says, well, I'm saved for grace, but I got to do good. Well, listen, I'm saved for grace, and according to Ephesians 2, verse 10, I'm ordained to do good works. I ought to do good works. Well, I don't got to do good works. I can go and be a bad person to be chastised, scourged, being taken out of this world.
Yes.
I mean, that's my free will God's given me. Are y'all listening this morning?
Amen.
But there's some dogs in the church. Let me just give you four things about these dogs real quick. That's a pretty good introduction. Let me give you something about these dogs. I'm talking about I wouldn't want to be a bulldog. I wouldn't want to be a Doberman Pinscher. I wouldn't be one of them chihuahuas napping at people's heels. I wouldn't want to be a poodle dog looking all pretty and scratching everybody come near me to try to help me. I definitely wouldn't want to be one of them dachshunds that's tearing up stuff. Can't be trusted. I don't want to be a junkyard dog going around digging up something on everybody all the time. Nobody likes a junkyard dog, do they? And I don't want to be the neighborhood dog that bounces around and goes from here to here to there to here, whoever's petting me and pampering me. So let me just say four things right quick. Just write this down in this fly leaf of your Bible, write it down in your mind somewhere. Number one, beware lest the dog is around you. Beware lest the dog is around you. You may describe someone like somebody that we've talked about this morning. Beware lest they're around you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Can two walk together except they be agreed? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. I could go over. Are you listening?
Yes.
Beware lest the dogs around you. You say, preacher, what do I do if they're around you? Get away from them.
Amen.
Get away from them. Pray for them, but get away from them. Number two, beware lest this dog attacking you.
Yes.
Believe it or not, I hate to break the news to you, but if you stay in church long enough, you are prone to be attacked. Amen? Beware lest the dogs are attacking you. You're trying to serve God. You're trying to be faithful. You're trying to be a faithful member of the church. You're trying to serve the Lord. And all of a sudden that dog jumps on you. And maybe they drug something up out of your past. Maybe they snapped at your heels when you was trying to help them. I don't know. Hey, maybe they just made a mess of something. Beware lest they attack you.
Yeah, right.
Number three, beware lest they affect you. It's easy to see the dogs. It's easy to see things going on in church and get discouraged about it. Well, bless God, if that's what that church is going to be, I'm just not going.
Yep. Amen.
Hey, hold on. There's going to be dogs. There's going to be dogs. That's why I said beware. Beware lest they affect you. Don't let them wear you out. Are you listening to me? Definitely don't let them rub off on you and you become like them. Don't let them discourage you. Don't let them defeat you. But surely don't let them run you out of the church.
Yeah.
Hey, are you listening? Don't let them make you leave your own place of worship.
Amen.
Don't let them affect you. Hey, and fourthly, let me say this. Beware lest they are you.
Amen.
Beware lest they are you. I've read a lot of description of dogs this morning. None of really what I want anybody to be able to honestly describe and say, that's fragile. I would hope that as we went through them, you didn't think, oh, that's my preacher. Beware, lest they are you. Can I say if they are you, right here according to what Paul said, if they are you, you probably need to get saved. You probably just need to get saved. You just need a good old-fashioned, a good old case of old-fashioned Holy Ghost salvation.
Amen.
I mean, what you need is to be regenerated. Born from above, made a new creature. Jesus said to Nicodemus, one of the most religious men. So, preacher, you don't know how long I've been in church. Jesus looked at Nicodemus, one of the most religious men of his day, if not the most religious man. And he said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
Amen.
Can I say it feels good for Nicodemus? It's good for us today.
It is.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Beware the dog. Beware. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd help us. I pray you take this message. I pray, God, that, Lord, I've tried to preach this message. I know it's a warning. I know it's stern at times, but I tried to preach it, Lord, led by the Spirit of God.
and tried my best to be led by you and not by my flesh. God, I pray that you'd help us to be sensitive, help us to be receptive, help us to be obedient to what the Spirit of God has for us. Speak to our hearts today. If there won't be one here this morning without Jesus Christ, they've never trusted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, or today they may be saved. Then there may be Christians here, they may be saved, but maybe they're struggling, maybe they're discouraged. Maybe a dog has attacked them. Maybe a dog has affected them. Maybe dogs are around them. I don't know. You know the hearts. You know the needs. God, I pray you'd have your will and way in this invitation. There may be some, they realize today they're lost. They just need to be saved. God, I pray you speak to their heart. Have your perfect will and your perfect way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're standing on